universe with your presence, and there is no need for anybody.
Get this over with, but Microsoft is certainly not in a big rush to get to make that happen. I think they're just going to continue to drag their feet, maybe even more so than they have in the past. And this could take years to resolve, which I don't think is good for Microsoft. I don't think it's good for the computer industry, but it may be good for Apple. So
that was going to be my last question. How is all this going to affect Apple, if at all?
I always wanted to make an impression. You know the type. There's one in every class. The cut-up. Eddie Cantor once told me likability is 90% of the battle, and he was right. Well, that's me. I'm a likable guy.
The male's task to understand how God exists in our lives. Judaism gave Christianity and Islam a notion both astonishing and radical, the notion that God acts in history. The desert religions became, in response to this idea, activist religions, ennobled ones fed by the assumption that God is on my side, not yours. The history of the desert religions, oft repeated by old men to boys, got told through stories of battles and crusades, sultans and emperors. But within the three great desert faiths, there was a feminine impulse, less strong but ever present, a tradition of absorption rather than assertion, of service rather than authority, of play rather than dogmatic certitude. Think of the delicate poetry of the Song of Songs, or the celebration of the maternal represented by the Renaissance Madonna, or the architectural lines of the medieval mosques of Spain and North Africa, light as music. And yet the louder, more persistent tradition has been male, concerned with power and blood and dogmatic point. Now on the evening news, diplomats come and go, speaking of truces and terrorists and the price of oil. In truth, we are watching a religious war, Muslim versus Jew, a war disguised by the language of diplomacy.
Going as fast as you can, getting all your energy out, and then you're exhausted afterwards. The art of lovemaking, that is, by the way, the art of masturbation, okay, is to get off as fast as you can, just to get off.
So when he saw that burst of that light, he said, "That's me."
We call this desperado Agro. He's the wildest croc we've got in the park.
The art of lovemaking is to take this energy, this intense energy,
in decades and centuries past, there had been holocausts and crusades and violence as fierce among believers of a single religion. For example, Catholics contending with Protestants and with the Eastern Orthodox over heresies and questions of authority.
Now, he's hungry. I want to give my crocs as natural life as possible, which means there's wild pig on the menu. And I'm using myself as live bait. Watch Agro slip into an ambush position. Right now, I've got no idea of knowing where he'll strike from.
And share it with your partner. Slow it down and allow it to very gently move into her, sharing your energy with her.
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you.
Yahweh, God, Allah. The desert deity rarely expressed a feminine aspect as in Hinduism. The men who interpreted the Bible or the Quran rarely allowed themselves a sense of unknowing or paradox as in Buddhism.
It's good to see you.
He's made himself completely invisible. Funny out here.
Like you might get caught?
So in a sense, for a woman needing 18 to 20 minutes, it's not like just a straight line up to your peak, like climbing the Swiss Alps. It's more like the hills of Kentucky, okay? It's a gradual climb. It gets up more, it reaches the top of one hill, and it settles down again. Then it goes back up for another hill, and it settles down again.
Rich Little, I love this man, and I'm not going to say anything bad about Rich. I mean that because he never said anything bad about me. Oh, he You call my wife the Yenta, a pain in the ass, and a bad hump.
You don't really understand exactly what our plan is, and neither do we. But it don't really matter to us because, see, we always moving forward. And on the microphone, you know, we never gonna lower our heads to any power. We gonna rip the shit up, turn it wet like a shower, and devour anybody that even steps to us. Because, you know, they never get the best of us. We be the best of the B-E-O-B-L-E. Because we're coming through, it ain't no mystery. Yo, we gonna rip the microphone, we gonna spit it. Don't have a lot of loud voice left. So you know I'm living. That's it to the left. But that's what you want, drummer man. You know what I'm saying?
What's your most favorite memory of all time? See, I've never been able to single something out as far as only one. That's just any memory.
Do you categorize it?
That might take, do I have like a time limit or something?
No, you can talk out loud about this as
long as you like.
No. We're at 9:25.
Most memorable?
Happiest. Most enjoyable.
Did you say happy? No, what was the first word you used? That's the question. See, we got to watch Pool Hall Junkies for you to be enlightened in the area of wording.
We got a reputation to protect.
Come on. Remember what I told you. Keep it fast and simple. Don't meet his eyes. Just walk up, do your job, and walk away. I'll be right here waiting for you. Come on, you can do it.
Drop it. Take off your gloves. Take off your gloves.
You fucking did it.
I did it.
I fucking did it.
I'm so goddamn proud of you.
He's a real hungry animal. Feral pig, best food source, but he's very territorial. Got to be really careful when you enter into his territory. Got to play by his rules.
Of our city. The government will then suspend the Constitution and declare martial law.
Incidentally, I know many Americans who are turning away from the desert religions or are seeking to moderate the masculinity of the desert religions by turning to the contemplative physics of yoga and the play of the Zen koan.
Say something.
Say something!
Meanwhile, in my own Catholic church, there is the squalor of sexual scandal, men forcing themselves on boys. One hears conservative Catholics who speak of ridding the seminaries and the rectories of homosexuals. As one gay Catholic, a single man in this vast world, I tell you, pedophilia is no more an expression of homosexuality than rape is an expression of heterosexuality. Pedophilia and rape are assertions of power. Polls indicate that a majority of American Catholics are more forgiving of fallen priests than they are forgiving of the bishops and cardinals who have treated us like children.
They call me the Crocodile Man.
Take care, man. Have fun. You are my fucking hero, man.
And there's nothing wrong with saying the word cunt. Because if it wasn't made to be eaten, God wouldn't have created it in the form of a taco. This is a big night for our guest of honor. I'd say, making Rich Little and naming him the man of the year is like naming Dr. Ruth the fuck of the month. Have you ever seen Dr. Ruth on television?
Oh, that's good. Well, I solved the solution. You use a diaphragm?
On account of Dr. Ruth, Oral Roberts is changing his first name. There's going to be a lot of things said about you tonight, Rich, but there is one consolation. When the night is over, you're invited to Liberace's house, where he'll lick your wounds or anything else he can get his hands on.
And it goes back up to another hill, and it settles down again. And this is completely contrary to the way a Martian thinks or a man thinks. These ups and downs, it even looks like a woman's body, doesn't it? Nice curves. You see, this is the feminine nature. It goes up, and it comes down. It goes up, and it comes down. Waves.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know what I want. Yeah?
What you gonna have?
Bowl of chocolate ice cream and a cup of coffee.
Okay, coffee? Black sugar cream?
No, black. That's it.
That it?
Yeah. Bowl of chocolate ice cream and a cup of coffee.
Okay, coffee? Black sugar cream?
No, black. That's it.
That it?
Yeah.
Starts playing up, I'm often the first one to hear about it. I've just had a call about another problem croc, but this time I won't be bringing him back to the park. I want to try a new idea.
Another power outage.
No, sir. I'm installing Rich's new high-fidelity unit.
In his trailer here?
I can wire anything.
Yeah?
You got a section?
Yeah.
Let me show you something. I designed this myself. Listen. I can't get your love, I can't get
affection. Pretty groovy, huh? I'm Bob Crane. John Carpenter.
If I were a carpenter
and you were a lady, would you marry me? Would you?
Yeah, I've never been much into hi-fi. Photography's always been my thing.
I'm with you. If you like photography, you'll love VTRs.
VTRs?
Video tape recorders. Mm. Magnetic coating, like audio tape. Same principle, only with pictures.
Huh.
Sony, Ampex, Panasonic, they're all developing VTRs.
Hi, Bob. Hey, Robert. So, this is like your...
I sort of freelance. I work with Sonicom from Japan, helping them introduce helical scan VTRs. I sold Dawson the third VTR in the U.S. Sold one to LBJ. Elvis.
Yeah?
Showed him how to use it. Nice cat.
Back in 15 minutes, Bob.
Shoot, gotta run. Nice meeting you.
All right.
Carpenter. FBI.
Full-blooded Indian.
Well,
actually half-blooded. Yeah. Take my card. Dawson and I are hooking up over at Salome's later if you want to come and join us.
I actually probably...
You'd like it. Mm-hmm. It's a nice joint.
Like mm-hmm.
House band, strippers.
Oh.
Hi, Clay. How's it coming?
You're all set up, Big Daddy. 8 watts of pumping power.
Hey there. I just got the best bloody hi-fi on this lot.
I gotta run.
Salome's.
Coolest dude hero. I'm the president of your fan club, man. I know.
Ralph here today?
He was here.
Oh.
And I was hugging and kissing
Steve.
Him. Hey, dude.
How you doing?
Oh, man. Where is everybody?
I don't know. Everyone's
I want to try a new idea.
Seven bullets. You got seven chances. If you're good at what you do, if you've done your homework and you've prepared yourself, you should only take one. Never get complicated. Keep things simple, you got it?
Yes, sir.
The gun is untraceable. Shoot, drop the gun, walk away. Never run. Always wear gloves. We're not talking about brain surgery here. The hardest part, Alex, is keeping your mouth shut. You can never, under any circumstances, tell anyone what you do. I mean, I know, you know, your mother knows because she helped me get started in the business, but nobody else must ever know. Not your buddies, not your girlfriends, not your wife, if you're lucky enough to find the right woman and get married. People don't understand this line of work. They get agitated, you understand?
Yes, sir.
You ready for tomorrow?
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
Good boy.
Crocs like Agro can live for 100 years.
That is the purpose of this meeting, ladies and gentlemen, to lay the foundation for a nationwide campaign by you to demand by law such compulsory education. Because it is only through enlightenment that this scourge can be wiped out.
Sounds like you like to eat healthy food.
Well, I mean, it's only a week and a half, I guess. I eat a lot here, yeah. I tried a little bit here. Better.
You get some good vegetables and food.
Decent balance.
I find myself craving that stuff sometimes.
Yeah, your body tells you what you need.
Yeah, I think so.
So, where do you see yourself here?
Hopefully in a totally different life. Back being self-sufficient. Or on the way. Some kind of schooling or something. If the sales thing works out, maybe I'll get for that.
What kind of schooling do you want to do?
Sure, now I'm gonna have to learn something else. It's really too much. You know, as far as like computer technology.
You're probably going to be looking to do a job that doesn't require a lot of hesitation.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to be looking for something that can be more
mound by law such compulsory education, because it is only through enlightenment that this scourge can be wiped out. Out of the traffic in these drugs, a lawlessness that we can scarcely estimate has grown and is now flourishing. It exists in almost every city and hamlet in the country. It might be interesting and important for you to know some of the methods used in bringing these drugs into the country.
It's important not to look at a clock. You don't want the clock to look at you. It's not even like you look at the clock. It's like the clock is coming to get you. And it's taunting you. The clock is looking at you.
As the work of the forces of law and order, which are daily combating the traffic, always at the risk of life by their agents. This ceaseless fight against the drug traffic is directed by the Department of Narcotics, Washington. I've received a letter of vital importance from a member of the Narcotics Bureau. I'm going to read this letter to you. My dear Dr. Carroll, the suppression of the use of marijuana and of the forces lurking behind it are the most important jobs this department is now engaged in. At the outset of this letter, there is one vital fact I would like to submit. There is a powerful agency. I speak of the school parent associations of this country, which can be invaluable in stamping out this scourge.
You asked, at which point George Takei delivers his next scripted line, which read, I swear, oh my God, it's released another one, now two and three. As you might expect, we were all sprawled about our posts, crying, roaring, rolling, and thoroughly punch drunk amid our uncontrollable base level glee. We had a break for 20 minutes, and during that time, we all splashed cold water on our teary faces and thought about things like world hunger and sickness and death in the hope that we might be able to regain our composure at some point in the near future. Meanwhile, as our chute moved off the bridge and into the enormous bowels of V'ger, Harold Livingston, having earlier been persuaded by Jeffrey Katzberg to rejoin the project, finally nailed down our ending. Employing an idea originally concocted by Gene Roddenberry, Livingston's scripted brainstorm allowed Beecher to ultimately succeed in its quest of becoming one with its creator by unloading its vast stockpile of knowledge into a willing human being conveniently provided by the rather expendable character of Decker.
He knew that that must be Goldstein's final message. The future belonged to the Proles. And could he be sure that when their time came, the world they constructed would not be just as alien to him, Winston Smith, as the world of the party?
Their help, their eternal vigilance, could be the deciding factor in our fight against it. The weed marijuana is grown in every state in the Union. Recently, in the city of Brooklyn, New York, a field of marijuana was found behind a tenement court. The weed was here being cultivated, regularly stripped and dried and sold in schools and at government army posts in and around New York.
Please, it's Bob. It's Bob. Bob. It's Bob. Bob.
Mandy.
We should name a ride after him. Loop de loop.
Tilt-a-whirl. I tell you, watching these home movies gets me so damn hot.
They're
videos,
Bob. Videos.
Hard on the size of Florida. What was that?
What?
Rewind the tape. Just rewind it. Okay. Okay, just play it from there. All right, play it right there. What's that on my ass?
What's what?
Freeze it. Can you do that?
Not for long. The image becomes unstable.
Freeze it right there. What the hell is that on my ass?
That is my hand.
Rubbing my ass?
So what?
Well, you got your fingers up around my cheeks. What the hell are you doing in there, John?
It's an orgy, Bob.
So you can just touch my ass?
I thought you liked it.
I thought it was her. God!
What's the difference?
What's the difference? You got your fingers up my fucking asshole.
Sorry.
Fuck you very much.
Bob, I said I'm sorry. It's a group grope.
Got your fingers up around my ass.
We were just having fun.
You know what? You're a perv.
What?
You're a fucking pervert. Is that clear enough for you? A fagala. Oh, does that make sense?
Bob G, I'm sorry.
You know what? Hey! I'll see you next time, Carpy. Never!
New metaphysics. Eric Geiserman. Doing the small god act as usual. In fact, that's about all you can do around here. It can be a problem.
Long memory.
Very long. Goes all the way back. Comes back around. Comes all the way back again here. Wraps around. Goes all the way back. Quite a few numbers of times. Because that's if you can afford the whole package. Not everyone can get the full package. Some get basic plus one, exclusive minus two, you know, marketing. It's all marketing today. Marketing of plastics. I'm sorry, that was in that other generation.
I want to see if we can teach them to mend their ways.
Just spinning some wax, greasing some palms, pushing some powder. You know how it is up here in the 14th floor DJ suite with marketing. W Marketing Radio. Since radio was taken over by monsters from outer space earlier last century, and has been an insomnia ever since, a shadow on God, darkness at noon, a palette for priests and panderers. Of course, I'm on the internet, so what the hell am I talking about? I can do whatever the fuck I want. And only my internet service provider can send that fuck back around, wrap it around, bring it back around yet again. Of course, that's only if I do prescribed things. Like comment in a Usenet forum that Usenet bandwidth has been slowed to a crawl, directly proportional to the amount of advertising they do for new bandwidth customers. I don't know, go figure it out.
It's Bob.
That's with a B on the end. New Metaphysics. 3Ws, newmetaphysics.com. Get a whole lot of shows to bring down, wrap it around, and send them back out again on some sort of a playing device.
Bob.
Yeah, I get the picture over there.
Bob.
I get the picture, Bob. My older brother, he was the bad agent provocateur, if you need one, and I needed one because I had certain movies to do, as do we all. It's just a movie kind of life these days. Gary at newmetaphysics.com. A little walkie-talkie on a stick for you. If you want to send anything back, then I'll piss on it again and give it to the beggars out in the alleyway. I don't know, it's all mixing up on me here. Let me continue on with this so-called program. I want to thank that guy out in Washington, sent me some CDs of stuff. Some lurid and kind of embarrassing material, but, you know, I have no hierarchy over here. I'm creating a new world. You know, the four pillars of the Matrix, I hope. After a few hundred hours of listening to this show, you should know.
Yes, because at the least it would be a world of sanity. Where there is equality, there can be sanity. Sooner or later it would happen. Strength would change into consciousness. The proles were immortal. You could not doubt it when you looked at that valiant figure in the yard. In the end, their awakening would come. And until that happened, though it might be 1,000 years, they would stay alive against all the odds, like birds, passing on from body to body the vitality which the party did not share and could not kill.
Hierarchy number is one of them. There's no order since there's no hierarchy. I'm just going to list them. And you can order them however you want. If you're a fetishist and have a short circuit between pleasure and enjoying pleasure. If you get stuck there, you have a world of problems, my friend. That's the Jones country. The addiction thing. Fetishism. It can be a lot of fun, though, until you heal them. Otherwise, it will eat you alive. It is pretty much considered uncurable today in the Matrix. Singular authority. That's another one. One of the four pillars of your father's matrix. Hierarchy, singular authority. Either or thinking instead of both or none. I like both myself. You know, like mixing. So that either or swings over to singular authority, comes back around to hierarchy if you need some. Send it over to dominating male principle. It's one of the other four barber poles of our bad haircut life. Dominating male principle means the male side of the yin yang will be attempting to dominate the other side, the female side, the yin side, or as the masculine likes to say, everything else, including my own erectile salute to a singular male god who wants to punish me, so I'm going to punish me and everyone else before that fucker can grab a hold of my broomstick. Hey, I gotta go. I'll talk to you later.
They'll never forget. If it works, we can leave them where they belong, in the wild.
Do you remember, he said, the thrush that sang to us that first day at the edge of the wood? He wasn't singing to us, said Julia. He was singing to please himself. Not even that, he was just singing.
Professionals here. I realize you've all been working on your characters, each with his own slant, but we have to keep in mind this is a gang comedy. It's funny to the extent the gang is funny. It's like an athletic team. Roman Gabriel may be a great quarterback, but without Joe Carollo, we ain't going to complete a pass.
Do you hear about the Greek quarterback who hated to leave his buddies behind?
I think we get the point. Let's pick up with Clink and Hogan.
The great disciplinarian knows when to reward and when to punish. Now, my leniency is a legend, right?
Wrong.
You've got a reputation to uphold, Colonel. You know that. I mean, you're running the most brutal prison camp in all of Germany.
Okay. Let's back up. Bob, don't try so hard. You're the hero of the show. It's named after you. And heroes don't try and be heroes. They simply are. Okay. Let's do it again. Same place.
The great disciplinarian knows
when to reward and when to punish. Now, my leniency is a legend, right?
Wrong.
What do you mean?
You've got a reputation to uphold, Colonel. You know that. I mean, you are running the most brutal prison camp in all of Germany.
I am?
In the world. You're ranked third, right behind Devil's Island and Alcatraz.
Good.
And you're the toughest commandant in Germany.
I am?
In the last war, it was kill the Kaiser. Today, it's kill Klink.
Kill Klink. I like that.
An operation like this takes teamwork.
With their secret meetings and their clutch on power, apologizing but assuming no penance. Polls indicate also that Catholics continue to go to church. We go to church because of the sacramental consolation our religion gives us. All of us now in our churches and synagogues and mosques, what knowledge unites us in this terrible season? Are we watching the male face of the desert religion merely reassert itself? Or are we watching the collapse of that tradition and the birth, the rebirth of what? I think of the women of America who have become priests and rabbis. I think of the women of Afghanistan who came to the school door the first morning after the Taliban had disappeared. I think of Mother Teresa, whose name will be remembered long after we have forgotten the names of the cardinals and their silk robes. I think we may be at the beginning of a great feminine moment in the history of the desert religions. Even while the tanks rumble, and the priest is arrested for raping a child, and the girl, unblinking, straps explosives onto her body. I'm Richard Rodriguez.
Terry comes in. And Wes, my right-hand man.
It's a bit like tying down the Queen Mary. What are you doing?
At least ours won't fall off, mate.
And I wouldn't go anywhere without Duggar. We've got a long journey ahead of us to catch up with the latest troublemaker.
To look at Rich Little, you'd never know. But he's a pretty horny guy. Before in the VIP room, he walked up to me and he said to me, Milton, he said, I found a new way to fuck. I said, no shit. He said, well, a little.
Now, when a man is, let's say, stimulating a woman in foreplay, and he's giving her a state or arousing her, her energy is rising up, And then it starts to settle down naturally. He'll start to panic and go, wait, what's happening here? And he'll try to keep her energy going up and up and up. And the same thing happens to his own sexual energy, by the way, which is he will tend to rise up in a peak very quickly. And for a short period of time, let's say if he's going to get to orgasm in 3 minutes, 2 of those minutes will be arousal increasing, increasing, increasing. The last minute will be a plateau. This is from a graph of Masterson Johnson, which talked about the arousal stage, the energy is going up, and there's a plateau, and then all of a sudden it's like this thing on the horizon, the orgasm.
Is our oyster, and we're gonna suck that bitch down with a champagne chaser.
To your memory because of the looking. It's based on the first law of behavior, namely, you get more of what you reinforce.
Thoughts don't come that loosely. The gust of wind as Mucky Jason pulled up my already too short dress? Good God, we are regressing. No, I was a tomboy, no skirts for me. Wow, you are in a bad way. Life goes too fast now, you say? Used to ride on a turtle's back? Are you sure you haven't been smoking something? You're coming out of some weird bags. The switch you went through as you walked home with that wretched report card, hoping that Mom's had gone out? No, one of us was always out. If it wasn't her, it was me. No big thing, no way. Sneaking under the turnstile and walking up and down the train all the way to 42nd Street, asking people for money and then stepping on their toes when you came back if they hadn't given you any? Nope, I went to school every day. Your moms would rake your forehead talking about she was gonna grow you some hair? Yeah, it figures. Didn't do your hair very much good. Developed a nice forehead, though. Your brother always looked better than you, even if he had on your hand-me-down clothes? Yeah, I know. No. Wow, I can see that as a definite blow. Yeah, I know, I'm a comedian, not taking you seriously. Here you are getting down to your grassroots and I make jest. I'm a sorry person. No, wait. Let me do right by you. I heard this somewhere.
Mel Rosen, I did a little radio show out of Quad City.
I've actually heard good things about that.
Thank you. Coming from you, that's high praise.
You're going to give me a tape for that.
Would you like something to drink?
All the grapefruit juice, please.
With vodka?
No, straight. Last of the straight men.
I'll have another Tom Collins. I'm doing a show on the new TV season. Never pass up one of these junkets.
Well, I'm with you there.
So this new show, I loved you on Donna Reed, by the way. It's set in a concentration camp, a comedy?
Prisoner of War camp. Yeah, it's got all your typical comedy elements. Gestapo, police dogs.
So I guess it's fair to say if you liked World War II, you're gonna love Hogan's Heroes.
No, let's not.
Actually, I got what I want.
Hey, Mel, I thought you were a fellow entertainer.
I'm also a Jew.
It's the same thing.
mind can paint the images of the reality within your mind now. And the music itself has become the paintbrush. And you effortlessly enjoy this beautiful process of transforming waves of sound into beautiful pictures of imagery. And as you begin to let go now even more, allowing the music to take you deeper and deeper and deeper, you now realize that your body can and will provide you with all of the energy you need to run the most powerful computer processor in the universe. And you will find that what you believe you can think, you can think, and you can experience with your creative and subconscious minds to back up all of the processing of the imagery which you now see before your eyes. And whether your eyes are closed or whether your eyes are open, you find yourself now seeing vivid, beautiful, and bright pictures as provided by the music, as provided by your subconscious and creative mind. And every note, every single note is another brush, another stroke on the canvas.
Country, a la mode always. Broadening or burrowing to the moon's phases, turbid with pulverized waste mantle, on through flatter, duller, hotter cotton gin country, its scours approaching the tidal mark where it puts off majesty, disintegrates and through swamps of a delta, punting pole, fowling piece, oyster tongs country, wearies to its final act of surrender, effacement, atonement, in a huge amorphous aggregate no cuddled, attractive child ever dreams of, non-country. Image of death as a spherical dewdrop of life. Unlovely monsters, our tales believe, can be translated too, even as water, the selfless mother of all especial. Now I'm going to read one poem from a cycle of poems I wrote about the canonical hours. The particular one I'm going to read is a prose poem, and it's called Vespers, and that means 6 o'clock in the evening. If the hill overlooking our city has always been known as Adam's grave, only at dusk can you see the recumbent giant, his head turned to the west, his right arm resting forever on Eve's haunch. Can you learn from the way he looks up at the scandalous pair what a citizen really thinks of his citizenship? Just as now you can hear in a drunkard's caterwaul his rebel sorrows crying for parental discipline, in lustful eyes perceive a disconsolate soul scanning with desperation all passing limbs for some vestige of her faceless angel, who in that long ago when wishing was a help, mounted her once and vanished.
The Harvard professor who became the outlaw acid king of the 1960s.
Not sure I've ever gotten angry.
You've never gotten angry at your father?
No.
Police. I want you to listen very carefully.
It's Carter. Carter. Now listen carefully, you hairy-faced git. I've got the film and enough evidence to put you away for a long time. All it takes is one call to the police.
And how do I know there's no such thing as infinity?
How?
I can see it when I close my eyes.
Well, if you can see it, doesn't that mean it exists?
No, exactly the opposite. You said infinity was in this. How could I see it if it was in this?
I think you got me, kiddo.
Yeah, I got ya. Dad, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
But you seem to have a lot on your mind lately. Good night, Dad.
Come on, close your eyes.
Good night again.
Infinity, huh? Sounds like you and your father had some pretty serious conversations.
I didn't used to think there was such thing as infinity. I used to think everything began and ended. I don't think that anymore.
What do you think now?
Now I think nothing really ends.
The pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone, all the flowers are dying. It's you must go. And I must buy.
But come ye back. What the hell those niggas doing out there? I said something to you. You hear me?
Or when the
damn porch monkey. You moving in here, son? Sitting next to me? Watching my TV? A time when they knew their place. There wasn't none of this mixing going on. Your mother, she hated them niggers too.
And I was dead, as dead I will maybe. Come and find me. tread above. And on my grave will warmer, sweeter be. And you will bend and tell me that you love me.
Say something.
And I will sleep in peace until you come to me.
Sun and moon supply their conforming mass, but in this hour of civil twilight, all must wear their own faces. And it is now that our two pairs cross. Both simultaneously recognize his antitype, that I am an Arcadian, that he is a Utopian. He notes with contempt my Aquarian belly. I note with alarm his scorpion's mouth.
My ambition to really liberate the world. Why not? I mean, why settle for anything less? And I have a sense of humor about it. I know the odds are against me, but we only have a few years here. Let's try to leave this spaceship a better place.
He would like to see me cleaning latrines. I would like to see him removed to some other planet.
Here's a nice close-up of an old reel-to-reel VTR. You know, there is in this film, as well as a history of a certain kind of American clueless male, there's also a history of video technology.
Everybody okay? You all right, Georgia?
I'm okay.
Well, he don't have any outstanding appeals, so looks like we're definitely going to do it tonight.
12, 12, 9, 11, 9.
Everybody okay? You all right, Georgia?
We go through the machinery, and every time you seem to run into Carpenter, you know, he's got a new gadget.
I'm okay.
Depp, is that hood ready?
Yeah, it's fixing and ready to go.
Anybody got anything to say? Tom?
Nice draw. Calms him down.
Draw. Phil, will you make sure he's got whatever it is he needs to draw? All right, Tom, why don't you lead us in prayer?
Neither speak. What experience could we possibly share? Glancing at a lampshade in a store window, I observe it is too hideous for anyone in their senses to buy. He observes it is too expensive for a peasant to buy. Passing a slum child with rickets, I look the other way. He looks the other way if he passes a chubby one. I hope our senators will behave like saints.
Getting it because you are unlucky. It is not different from playing in a ball game where the rules have not been decided before the game starts and where another is making them up as you go along. Always seeming to make the rule up to your disadvantage.
As your reality begins to shift, as the physical reality you once knew in the physical world begins to dissipate,
open cell 13!
Here for your stuff, man.
Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him in his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand.
Be careful with this. Don't worry about it, man. Close, 13!
Yet they don't reform me. He hopes they will behave like the Brittany Cattivi. And when lights burn late in the citadel, I, who have never seen the inside of a police station, am shocked and think, where the city is free as they say, after sundown, all her beyond rows will be huge black stones.
Someone once told me, he said the truest thing about this movie is that the attraction for men isn't the women, it's the gadgets.
And so we see in this physical place, your planet Earth, mm-hmm. that there are many beings who are not joyous in this delicious physical experience because they do not understand how they're getting what they're getting. They are continually blaming themselves or beating up on themselves for not being stronger or better, or they are continually blaming someone else for having done something to their disadvantage. Understand how they're getting what they're getting.
the women. It's the gadgets.
Where's all I got? Some for us in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call.
I'm going to put these on nice and loose. Everything's going to be okay, right?
I don't know if that person was right, but certainly Carpenter embraced the male sex object gadget axis.
Please not smoke in here. No, seriously. Could you please not smoke in here? You know, smoke smell gets in the upholstery, fucks up the resale value like crazy.
Could you still love me if I wasn't a surgeon?
Now we're taking a big step down. We're talking to bleach bypass, and we're moving into the prosthetic. So
maybe you could call my son and tell him that I tried.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Open 13!
My right to have my paper and pencil.
I know. Paper and pencil's on the way.
Perfect fifth. It becomes a perfect fourth. Remember from one of our previous lessons, we said invert means you take the bottom note and put it on top. If I have CG and I invert it, I take the C from here and put it up here.
Put that goddamn cigarette
out. Well, I'm not going to put the cigarette out.
We're in the final phase of the degradation of the film quality now.
I promise you this.
You see that Greg is much more jolly, he has a prosthetic. And this fellow serving him is named Bill Marinella, and he was one of my suppliers of the softcore girls. He looked the type, and I cast him.
I've always believed that a portrait captures a person far better than a photograph. It truly takes a human being to really see a human being.
It is ordered in the judge that the judgment pronounced and set forth in this order, sentencing the defendant to death in the manner and by the authorities as provided by statute, shall be executed at this time.
I want you to put that goddamn cigarette
on. Well, I'm not gonna put the cigarette on.
Absolutely, certifiably insane.
Cool. Or I'll kill you.
have a whole other life. Oh, I miss you.
I fancy you.
In France.
I wish I was touching you.
You said it's good that I brought both of them together.
Right now.
Watch TV.
Cause?
Well, together they are the autobiography of...
Levels of greater significance for your folks back home.
If you are really searching because you want to find something,
copacetic.
From the metaphysics, it does continue. Here, guys, I mean, just add all these things up, divide by a prime number or whatever. Just remember, there is a way out of here. You made it, you can unmake it. Now let's check out this new liberal radio station. Air America. Gotta fucking
well,
use this
New York for about
goddamn real player.
And I had this lovely conversation.
Buffering this
with this young man next to me, and we talked, and then he said to me, "So you're for Bush?" And I was like, "Absolutely not."
And
we
never said another word.
We never said another.
Because we don't get it in my city.
I think that
freaking real player. Get it out
my,
in New York.
The normal reaction would be to go just to walk away. I really try to engage.
Where the fuck do they use that piece of shit?
Tell me. What is it that you like? I mean, I think what we've done...
That'd be some monetary explanation.
And I think that, you know, part of... I think that's the important... one of the important things about humor is that you can kind of get...
Using a PC with Windows, like just about...
They're so invested.
All the lemmings in the Matrix do.
Myself included. You know, I just...
Has some
but, you know, and
very bad properties that people aren't aware of because that's their only experience with digital media. They settle for shit. They think that in order to get this digital universality and ubiquity, They have to get the broomstick up the wazoo. And it has to be difficult and all these kinds of things. Limits. A lot of dominating male principle involved. Because the PC is a masculine structure. Interfacing with the all-is-one universal digital media today. You cocksuckers are too blind to even realize it. That's one reason I use a Mac. I just want to get the media. I want excellence and high quality. I don't want to use that shit that you people use.
And that's why we're here on air.
So this is mommy radio, liberal radio.
That's the question.
Well, I think that
instead of
still,
that daddy shit,
the job
it's everywhere these days. That fucking Infomnia and the
a little bit on the outside, a little bit
the cartoon
and
character.
I think that we are still very marginal. I mean, I think that perhaps we have made it.
I mean, I can't even get near that concept.
I think that
somebody's holding up
when the time comes that when
a broomstick and asking me to sit down on it.
He or she is gay, and their next thought is not
in the White House,
home, or this is going to be hell, or
I can't get near that
suicide. When that last one happens, then my job will be over. But
I haven't achieved.
You know, I certainly have a job to do.
Self acceptance enough for that.
I think you still have a perspective, yes. And really to be a liberal.
I am working on it, however.
Progressive. Gay person.
So go to 3wsnewmetaphysics.com.
There's still way out there. I mean, I sort of what happened, I think,
you can download
sort of
this show.
Sort of, but, you know, the radical gay people kick the doors open and all manner of people walk through. That one thing I've learned.
And all the old shows. 100 and
kick the doors open and
25 or 30 by now.
People walk through. I mean,
they just keep adding up. Nobody takes them away.
Gay Republican. And boy,
the newer shows now are at 192K stereo.
My heart goes out to him.
MP3.
But I mean, there's something I try to understand.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll switch over and have the downloads be all through Real Player.
But I really try to understand how you can be a gay Republican.
You know, I do hate people.
Well, I've talked to a lot of them, and
are some of them. So
gay Republicans, and some of mine are, you know, they come out. They like they come out as Republicans.
Harm come to ye.
But I think a lot of them want to stay in the party.
I'll get a cheap hit out of it.
Not taken over.
Pass through another day.
So that the party is not taken over by fundamentalist Christians. And that's why they're staying in and doing the work. It's a lot like gay people working in the Catholic Church. I might not understand it. And it's not something that I choose to do, but I'm glad they do.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we are in a sort of false sense of security. And while you have the culture...
That could be the end, that would have been the end of the movie. You know, that he'd go in the oncoming lane and he's dead. And it's that quick.
All over television. At the same
time, one can only wish.
We have more than ever.
I don't want any of you existentialist punks out there, however, to relate to me or what I'm saying or think that we have anything in common or that I am a fellow Nazi co-conspirator. Although I am going to play some of Der Fuhrer coming up.
And as bleak as it looks, because anti-gay measures, they are reacting to something. Years ago,
it is nice to jack off.
And it was kind of a steady state. But with
as long as you still can. Unless you have a relationship, I mean, one that works, that's a loving relationship. I plan on having one of those. So you can go to that site and there's streams there, although I apologize that the player is really not a streaming player. It just starts at the beginning every time. Trying to get my friend who serves it up to see about getting a QuickTime player in there. And you can, you know, move it around and everything. So I do apologize for that. Otherwise, it's just a lot of pretty high quality audio over there. Enough hours to pass through the photon belt and back into the Matrix or the New World.
Large sanitary pad. I could, you know, like
really have that whip fetish thing there.
He said, well, they're not making cookies.
Just to whip women.
What are you talking about?
And hang them out to dry.
We're looting bag, not we, but indirectly.
Of course, I also like honesty. There's more than I can say for...
I think then we're on war footage.
Most of my fellow...
Nationals. But they were having experience of democracy, is what...
Air America over there.
Well, he said when you have freedom, you know, people still can... Well, it's here, it's the not here.
It's a good stream, I have to admit that.
All over. But war
I would listen
now,
to it more if it was on the radio. You know how ubiquity that is.
We were having a fight the other night.
GaryNewMetaphysics.com and Mountain Stream Radio over on...
We were not on war footing. That is now an excuse.
There's a link to it on the page, I think.
I was not on war footing.
All right, wasn't a war footing.
Ethan and his brother and I share our shows on a 24/7 global jukebox.
Next weekend, this very evening, I'll be in San Francisco for the national National.
So I'm glad to be over there.
Which is a wonderful organization. And they have a big fundraising dinner. And I
at high altitude.
Flying through the night to Washington.
And over here, low altitude, a lot of potato heads running around all around me.
About the March on Washington next
day. There's Catholic Irish.
Why it's being called
way too many of them around here.
To a march for choice. We're going to have a bunch of different guests in here.
It's like Israel for the Irish. Miami Beach for the Catholics or whatever the fuck it is.
I've
been using discipline to get more profanity into my speech so I can sleep better at night. Although I sleep pretty good right now. Thanks to that subliminal tape. All right, I gotta get back to work here. Can't be talking to you.
I'll be moving out along the proceedings. I'll be bringing the guests on.
Now I have GP. That becomes a perfect fourth. So if you invert a perfect fifth, it becomes a perfect fourth.
By the feeling of his body, whether he was perched high in the air or buried deep underground.
The messianic figure is going to be a woman. That is going to be the twin flame of Christ, the female manifestation.
Very deliberately. Or I'm going to meditate and dream it there in the underworld and let it come to the surface. Or I'm going to have all of a sudden insights or flashes, synchronistic events that are part of my dream or the gestalt.
Bob.
You're a fortunate man.
Bob.
Thank you.
There was a sound of marching boots outside.
And the music has begun a process. Disinformation.
Not necessarily a large force, but a literary force.
As you no longer rely on your eyes.
To them. I think that a lot of black people have felt a certain division in their purpose. About the time that they saw there was an individual solution for them, to which they could enter white middle-class society to a great extent more than they could before.
And you go deeper and deeper.
And performing. He had a few good ones, and he had a few bad ones, and he had a couple of disgusting fights.
I think this is really a great idea.
I think it's the simplest way.
Explain to me the distinction between the civil and the human.
Well,
it's so beautiful out today, and I lost a lot of brain cells in the sun.
Well, I think his point is that why not just have human unions, to hell with heterosexual, homosexual, any of it, and not have the state involved in either one. Let's just get everybody out of paying more taxes or fewer taxes on the basis of who's there marrying them. I mean, I know you want to get in on the act there and be marrying people, but I think he's got a point.
I do, too. I mean, I think why give special...
Steel door opened with a clang. A young officer, a trim, black-uniformed figure who seemed to glitter all over with polished leather and whose pale, straight-featured face was like a wax mask, stepped smartly through the doorway. He motioned to the guards outside to bring in the prisoner they were leading. The poet Ampleforth shambled into the cell. The door clanged shut again. Ampleforth made one or two uncertain movements from side to side, as though having some idea that there was another door to go out of, and then began to wander up and down the cell. He had not yet noticed Winston's presence.
We're a Christian publication, Mr. Crane.
Please, it's Bob.
So, this is a little outside our normal terrain. We usually don't do Hollywood interviews, what with the divorces and whatnot.
Sure.
Frankly, that's why we're interested in you. You've been married to your high school sweetheart for 16 years.
15, actually. Earlier in the same episode, the setup for...
Gonna get murdered!
15 years. How do you do it? What's your secret?
Last Sunday, we drove our rent-a-van down Sunset Boulevard to a yard sale.
3 words. Don't make.
I was immediately attracted to the dozens of springolators and variety of pastels, stripper shoes,
As I was squeezing my big foot into an 8.5, I heard a scream and a piercing yell, a sound we had never heard before. Behind me, I saw the dog, young and gray and bearded, lying in the street, urine coming out of its holes. The owner, a young woman with hair the color of August prairies, was on the corner heaving in groans and pain and despair. I held the dog, eyes bobbing up and down in pain for 10 seconds, and then it was over.
Waves. As every sailor knows, when one set of waves meets another set of waves, it can set up some chop. And when three sets of waves come together...
Stroked the gray animal with her piss streaming down my toes, evaporating in the arid southwest air before it hit the curb. Michael picked up the animal from the street and laid it to rest on the grass. At the same time, the driver who hit the dog returned to the scene in his oversized, shiny black truck with raised tires screaming, "That's what you get for not keeping your dog on a leash.
It can make for some mighty rough sailing."
"Yeah, you just killed the woman's dog."
"Also helps sometimes to have a harmless safety valve. When I get tense, I blow off steam."
Into this beautiful and blissful state, allowing the music to paint the pictures before you, and allowing your mind to create those images. And you relax your feet, you relax your calves, you relax your knees, and allow your legs to relax. Relax your hips, relax your waist, relax your stomach.
"Asshole, now complete the job and make her feel guilt."
"To relax.
Terminally responsible. I hate people who must blame the victim, who has to have a reason to blame on everything, like everyone is accountable for whatever happens to them, like karma. Karma was invented to keep the miserable in a position of acceptance and not rebel. The dog was covered with a yellow sheet, and the owner tried in vain to be adult and in control. She kept asking what she should do with the dog, twisting at the leash. But Sunset Boulevard is not a street of answers, it's a place of dreams. Customers at the yard sale continued purchasing, and Michael would tell the people that a goodbye was not hiding under the sheet. But most bargain hunters wouldn't let a story of a dead dog stop them from peeking and believing we were hiding some rare
fun.
The owner started to walk away. She began crossing the street in the same puppy fashion as her pet. I thought she looked like Mary Pickford. Smelled like fresh laundry drying out on the line. Shock does different things to different people, and I just didn't want anything to happen to her. I walked her to her apartment, but she wasn't accepting kindness from strangers. I was merely
as you relax your neck,
a hand. We approached
her building.
Your jaw. A woman was washing a 1970 scamp on the street.
Your cheeks,
she let go of my hand and cried out, "Dally's dead! Dally's dead!" And they both embraced and held and held each other in their grief. And in their grief, they forgot the danger of two women lovers embracing beyond the allowable time reserved only for heterosexuals. And within seconds, cars sneered as the two women were public with their sadness, but held together in their devotion. Hostile, angry remarks were made to the women. "Perverts, kinks, ugly broads. If I was your man, I'd force you both to enjoy cock." I crept away. I wished I was bigger and could run after the meanies, but I was too slow. Only
into
human.
This wonderfully beautiful state.
Michael and I stood watch by the shrouded pet so passerbys to the yard sale wouldn't step on the animal or take a peek to see if it was a goodbye. Soon the pair returned and carried the departed animal away with snickers and remarks from the cruel humans. "People like that shouldn't have a dog. Homosexuals shouldn't teach our children, and they shouldn't own pets, and that goes for lesbians too." Michael thought we should leave, but I had this overwhelming urge to buy an orange sweater. There seemed to be so much Pat's comfort in the sweater, even with its wad of Kleenex in the pocket. I needed the sweater. Later, as I tried on the orange sweater, I cleaned out the pockets. And to my surprise, the Kleenex was merely covering a small maroon and ice-pink satin bag, tightly tied. Insides were keepsakes, a palm tree charm with a hot pink stone for a coconut. A charm is the state of New York. Earrings of crescent moons made of milky stones like a smoke in a hot-lit room. Six rings, one emerald with pearls, another of thin garnets and diamonds and assorted rings of lucites and strange metals. Two wedding bands, Plaudier appearance dated 1911, freshwater pearls as a cupid with matching earrings, three gold coins dating from 1858, 1861, 1901, and in the bottom, rolled in yellow tissue, was a pin of a woman with a sapphire in her hands,
to allow the female genitals,
and a thick band of gold ring, both were inscribed in French.
It was a miracle I even got out along with alive. This town full of men with big mouths and no guts. I mean, if you can just picture it. The whole third floor of the hotel gutted by the blast, and the street below showered in shards of broken glass, and all the drunks pouring out of the dance hall, staring up at the smoke and the flames, and the blind pencil seller waving his stick, shouting for his dog that lay dead on the side of the road. And me, if you can believe this, at the wheel of the car, closing my eyes and actually praying, not to God above, but to you, sin.
Help me, girl. Hey, help me, girl. I love you till the end of the world. With your eyes black as coal and your long, long, long.
Some things we plan. We sit and we invent and we plot and cook up. Others are works of inspiration, of poetry. And it was this genius hand that pushed me up the hotel stairs to say my last goodbye to a hair white as snow and her pale blue eyes, saying, I gotta go, I gotta go. The bomb in the bread basket are ready to blow. In this town of men with big mouths and no guts, the pencil seller's dog spooked by the explosion, leaping under my wheels as I careered out of Longwood on my way to you, waiting in your dress of blue.
I said, thank you, girl. Thank you, girl. I love you till the end of the world. With your eyes black as coal.
And with the horses prancing through the fields, with my knife in my jeans and the rain on the shield, I sang a song for the glory of the beauty of you, waiting for me in your dress of blue.
Thank you, girl. Thank you, girl. I love you till the end of the world. With your eyes black as coal.
And
die Bombe sich selbst tut, ist die Auflösung aller bestehenden Begriffe, aller Völker und Rassen. Der Vermischung und Verpanzung, höchste Ziel der intellektuellen Urheber und Führer.
This perhaps is what distinguishes me from other people.
California, it's a congratulations from Robert Varconi.
From Mr. Congeniality.
15 and this hand. Our leader, neither.
I have Jack 6, I am not.
Well, he says, I'm not moving in with a Jack 6, referring to what Russell did.
He had a good flop to it.
But he is examining this hand. He's got an ace, deuce of spades, which is a really nice hand to have in the small blind. He's going all in. About $230,000, $240,000.
Crowd loves to see Harley move all in.
And now Julian has the king seven offsuit.
Our soul. We feel that we're in some one or another kind of claustrophobic situation where our soul will begin to expire if we don't do something radical about it.
A perfect interval will remain perfect when we invert it.
And I think that Gilmore chose to die in order, literally, to stay alive.
Briody's response to this. As befits a company that's been accused of being a CIA front, of recruiting, quote, executive mercenaries and attempting to overthrow the prime minister of a Commonwealth state, the Vanel Corporation kept a low profile in Riyadh. Its discreet security fooled nobody, however. The bomb attack was the second it has suffered in 8 years. In 1995, seven people were killed. The shadowy corporation is said to have been founded during the Depression. Dan Briody, author of The Iron Triangle, a study of Vanel's one-time owners, the Carlyle Group, serialized last week in the Times, says there is no publicity, no press releases, no news clippings. He adds no one knows who the original owners were. Vanel's work in Saudi Arabia dates back almost 30 years when it won a contract to train Saudi troops to guard oil fields. A congressional inquiry found that it had agreed to a no-Jews clause. In the 91 Gulf War, Vanel employees were seen fighting alongside Saudi troops. The company has helped the Saudis build their national...
He believed profoundly throughout himself that if he died at that point, his soul would still exist. And so his life, in that sense, would continue in some other form. I mean, from the time he wanted to, he said, let the state execute, the state has sentenced me to death, let them execute me. From that time, he became this man who'd been able to do nothing well, who'd made one mistake after another, who made a total mess of his life once he gotten out of jail, suddenly became enormously efficient. There are long, interesting discussions with his lawyers where he's discussing strategy with them on how to keep people keep wanting to bring in appeals for him. His family wants to bring in appeals for him. Various liberal organizations in the state, liberal organizations in Utah, brought in various appeals to have his execution stayed or delayed. And he kept fighting it. He fought with tenacity to bring on the day of his death. In other words, he was a particularly active, efficient, well-organized suicide. Now, that's a contradiction in terms. People commit suicide generally when they feel wholly disorganized, at their wits' end, lost, incapable of functioning. Gilmore functioned with more and more efficiency and skill as he came closer and closer to the day of his death.
Mit der angeborenen naiv Unbekümmertheit versucht diese kulturelle Ergänzung der politischen Destruktion, als ob nichts geschehen wäre, den neuen Staat mit ihrer Steinzeitkultur zu beglücken. Es kann nicht die Aufgabe sein, einer nationalsozialistischen Kunsterziehung Genies zu züchten, die nur die Vorsehung der Völker schenkt, als vielmehr das vorhandene Kulturgut so wie den unverdorbenen und gesunden Instinkt unserer Bewegung in Schutz zu nehmen vor diesen Räubern und Einbrechern der fremden Staat- und Kulturauffassung, sofern es sich überhaupt noch nicht behandelt. Das muss
The very popular Harley Hall from California gets the congratulations from Robert Varconi.
From Mr. Congeniality.
Dean and this hand. Our leader, neither.
I have Jack Six. I am not.
Harley says, I'm not moving in with a Jack Six, referring to
Nur die politische, sondern auch die kulturelle Linie der
Spitzenweiß. Nice hand to have in the small blind. He's going all in.
This is one of the experiences I have had here this summer. A consciousness of what I call reality, something abstract, but residing in the downs or sky, beside which nothing matters, in which I shall rest and continue to exist. Reality, I call it, and I fancy sometimes this is the most necessary thing to me. But who knows, once one takes a pen and writes. How difficult not to go making reality this and that, whereas it is one thing.
Freeze it. Can you do that?
Not for long. The image becomes unstable.
Freeze it right there.
Perhaps this is my gift. This perhaps is what distinguishes me from other people.
Freeze it right there. Well, now I guess is as good a time as any. Thank you all for coming. Ever since the introduction of the CV2000, we've been working toward the development of a color videotape recorder. Mr. John Carpenter, our Los Angeles representative, has set up a demonstration. This system will demonstrate what lies in store. John, get the lights, please.
I knew it was in color, but just a one.
John, lights. We are experiencing a little technical problem. If you'd excuse us, just a second. It's hot coffee and fresh Danish next door. It'll only be a few minutes, I promise. How do you go? Thank you. Thanks. What's happened?
I don't know. I said everything according to specs.
Well, fix it.
Looks fine to me.
It's green.
Okay.
It's fucking green. You really can't tell, can you? You're fucking colorblind.
I'll fix it.
God damn you, John. I've got execs from Tokyo, every network, and you pull a stunt like this? John, leave.
I'm fired?
Yeah, get out.
You can't do that.
It's done.
I've got the contacts. Who do you think got you the celebrities? I sold Vidicons to Tommy Smothers, Dick Martin, Bob Crane. I sold a VTO to Elvis!
Do I need to call security?
Pardon? telephonic dosages into meinen, die Schöpfer des neuen Reichs wären vielleicht albern oder ängstlich genug, sie von ihren geschwächten Nebeln oder gar einflüstern zu lassen. Sie werden sehen, dass sie vielleicht größte kulturelle und künstlerische Auftragserteilung aller Zeiten über sie so zur Tagesordnung hinweggehen wird, als ob sie nie existiert hätte.
What distinguishes Virginia Woolf is her attempt to make fiction get at something abstract. This wasn't an easy thing to do. There's often a painful feeling of effort as well as a lyrical power in her novels. In her diaries, you can see her trying over and over to find the right shape, the right form, the right words for her vision. She was working towards it in the three novels before Mrs. Dalloway. By 1923, she had mastered her new form. The idea was that instead of having a chronological plot, distinct actions and dramatic events, the narrative would move fluidly in and out of different minds, in and out of speech and silence, in and out of the past and the present. A day in the life of a middle-aged woman planning her party might not sound very experimental, but Mrs. Dalloway is Virginia Woolf's first completely successful modernist novel.
You are taking in the information consciously.
Which means I am constructing a good new thread for my knowledge web. And if...
We did our best to recreate the show. It was a one-camera, three-walled set. They would shoot out the three walls and then drag the fourth wall in.
Do I need to call security?
Peter Walsh. He'll be back from India one of these days. June or July. I forget which.
She would still find herself arguing, still making out that she had been right, and she had too, not to marry him. Though she had borne about her for years like an arrow sticking in her heart, the grief, the anguish. She felt very young, at the same time, unspeakably aged. She had a perpetual sense of being shut out, far out to sea and alone. She always had the feeling that it was very, very dangerous to live even one day. She had the oddest sense of being herself invisible, unseen, unknown. There being no more marrying, no more having of children now, but only this astonishing and rather solemn progress with the rest of them. This being Mrs. Dalloway.
In the scene we just saw where the video goes squirrely, the audience often thinks, Bob's porn's going to end up in the room. I suppose that would have been a good scene, but I needed to get the boys back together. So the scene was about the video breaking down and not about mixing up family and porn. Because, in fact, Crane did do that, particularly later in life. He would record everything right on the same tape. So you would get parts of TV shows, you would get home movies, and you would get explicit porn all on the same tape. Because at that point in his life, it was all the same to him more or less anyway.
From deep feeling, said Dostoevsky. And do I? Or do I just fabricate with words, loving them as I do? Have I the power of conveying the true reality? Or do I just write essays about myself? People say I can't create characters that survive. And I dare say it's true. I haven't the traditional reality gift. I want to give the moment whole, whatever it includes. Waste, deadness, come from the inclusion of things that don't belong to the moment. Oh, this appalling narrative business of the realist getting on from lunch to dinner. It's false. Unreal. Merely conventional. I want to lay the emphasis upon such unexpected places that at first it seems as if there were no emphasis at all. And then, as the eyes accustom themselves to the twilight and discern the shapes of things in a room, we see how complete the story is.
Like a nun withdrawing, or a child exploring a tower, Mrs. Dalloway went up to her room. There was an emptiness about the heart of life. An attic room. The sheets were clean, tight, stretched in a broad white band from side to side. Narrower and narrower would her bed be. Richard insisted after her illness that she must sleep undisturbed, and really she preferred to read, he knew it. So the room was an attic, the bed narrow, and lying there reading, for she slept badly, she could not dispel a virginity preserved through childbirth, which clung to her like a sheet.
I can see what I lacked. It wasn't beauty, it wasn't mind. It was something central which permeated. Something warm that broke up surfaces and recalled the cold contact of man and woman, or of women together.
But this question of love, falling in love with women. Take Sally Seton, her relation in the old days with Sally Seton. Had not that, after all, been love?
I've discovered I've got French blood in my veins, you know.
I'm not sure I believe you.
It's true. It's true. I've got an ancestor who had his head cut off with Marie Antoinette. He left a blood-red ruby ring to his daughter, who ran away to England.
The strange thing on looking back was the purity, the integrity of her feeling for Sally. It was not like one's feelings for a man. It was protective on her side, sprang from some sense of being in league together. A presentiment of something that was bound to part them.
Baby boy.
It's simple economics. Today it's oil, right? In 10 or 15 years, food, plutonium, maybe even sooner. Now, what do you think the people are going to want us to do then?
Ask them.
Not now. Then. Ask them when they're running out. Ask them when there's no heat in their homes and they're cold. Ask them when their engines stop. Ask them when people who've never known hunger start going hungry. You want to know something? They won't want us to ask them. They'll just want us to get it for them.
And I enjoy it. I really do. That strange taste in it doesn't bother me any longer.
Serious.
What are you saying?
I'm not saying anything. I'm asking.
No, you're saying something. You're saying you're not happy?
So you are happy?
time to be happy. I worry too much to be happy. Why aren't you happy?
I'm happy.
No, you're not.
I'm happy.
So did you not even know what they thought of the music?
No, I never had it. They always knew I could play very well. And I know I was a good drummer.
First time that I ever met Frank Ocean, Rich Little... was in Canada, in Windsor. And at that time, he was in the Navy, the Canadian Navy. And in those days, just like these days, he was a pretty horny guy.
It's coming, and it comes very quickly to guys. Sometimes it takes a lot longer for women, but they...
Thank you for the offer and thank you for thinking of me.
Right,
I know
exactly.
This is not for
right.
me.
Because it was hip and it felt good. You know, people would sit back now and say, wow, those recordings were horrible.
Yo, I'm getting a call, man, from your man EC, man. He's calling, yo, man, he's saying, yo, he heard what you said, man.
EC.
You better watch yourself,
who's
man.
Who's EC?
This rogue intellectual, this visionary genius.
Was a counterculture icon of the 60s.
Rover's in the glove box. One of 10-8s?
Yes, sir.
Cut that, sir, shit. I'm not your domestic violence awareness instructor. 10-8.
All right, what's our ID?
Nora 15.
Nora 15, 10-8.
Nora 15, 10-20. Whoa. Nora 15, we're south on Rampart at Beverly. South on Rampart at Beverly.
10-4.
Bad guys got radios too, my man. Never trust the radio. Never tell anybody exactly where we are, ever. Ever.
All right.
Reject them in a very aggressive way.
Him, it comes right away. It's the point of inevitability. He reaches the point of inevitability, and then there's this quick surge of energy. His energy goes way up. There's a burst, and it settles down.
this thing with the technology and the women, it's interesting. It treats them like any other addict, where if you have an alcoholic or if you have a drug addict, they have little rituals they do. You know, if a guy's a cokehead, he's got a little thing where he likes to, you know, he likes to clean off the glass
first.
Oh,
it's all about ritual. Addiction is all about the ritual.
Yeah, you know, and then he likes to dim the lights. He likes to put on a certain piece of music. And it's all these little things they do that makes the addiction go down. And Crane and Carpenter's little rituals before the women are video conversations.
Also, we wanted to really capture just the magic of early home video. I mean, I always said that
is it like a caveman discovering
exactly.
fire, Larry?
Exactly, like? because when Crane, you know, sees on TV the sexual adventure he had the night before, it's like, this is unbelievable.
Because these guys are doing this in 1965.
Yeah.
I mean, none of us were doing this until 1980.
Yeah, I mean, I always kind of said, like, treat Bob Crane as if he was the very first person ever to film himself having sex. To him, it's just magic. It's like, oh my God, I can relive these experiences over and over again. I can get an erection from, you know, instead of just thinking about that girl I had last night, I can just look at her and re-experience it all. So the point where at a certain point in this movie, I feel like it's all about reliving. It isn't about living anymore. I mean, the fact that even his career is all reruns, and now it's the sex is all about reruns. I don't think he actually gets that much pleasure out of the first time. It's all about watching them and logging them and cataloging it and putting it together and cutting it, and it becomes all about reliving as opposed to living.
And another little comment I have on that point is the way that it's about the spectacle, the way Hogan's Heroes recreated World War II in kind of a palatable way that people tuned in to laugh at, the way that Bob Crane recreates his real life, you know, on video that he gets more stimulated by. It's all about how, and the American media exists to give us these images that become a reality for us. And people, instead of going out and living their lives, they just watch it on television.
Yep.
And, you know, we're all replacing our realities of actually doing with just seeing. And for me, that sort of thread runs through this, how it, you know, it'll destroy you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I find sometimes that my childhood memories are the memories that my parents shot on Super 8 that I was able to watch over and over and then sort of see objectively and sort of watch myself having the experience.
That ideas are like children. Your own are wonderful. So everybody's coming to you and promoting these ideas to you.
If you're good at what you do, if you've done your homework and you've prepared yourself, it should only take one.
Hey, I like the way you moved out there. You were trained very well. Check that out. It's a shitty dime. See the small hairs, undeveloped seeds, all the stems in it. You see how immature it is? That's classic brick pack Mexican. That's garbage. Let me see it. Give me. Yeah, it's old, too. Shit's probably from last year. To be truly effective, a good narcotics agent must know and love narcotics. In fact, a good narcotics agent should have narcotics in his blood.
What are you gonna smoke that?
Nope, you are.
Hell if I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You not?
No.
Why, you're a Mormon or something? You're Jesus freak?
No, man, I'm not losing my job.
This is your job.
I can't do that.
Smoke it.
Huh.
This ain't a test, just take a hit.
Take a look. Man, listen, I became a cop to stop people.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. It's not a review board, and it ain't cocaine. Take a look.
No, man.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, right. If I was a dealer, you'd be dead by now, motherfucker. You turn shit down on the street, and the chief brings your wife a crisply folded flag. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Talking about you.
You know what? I don't want you in my unit. I don't want you in my division. Get the fuck out of my car. Go back to the valley, rookie. Poop butt ass.
Give me that thing. I'll smoke it, man. Give it to me. You want me to smoke it, I'll smoke it.
Virgin lung. Man up now. Man up, nigga. Man up. Go ahead, dog. You didn't even get it. Get it. Go. Yo, shut the fuck up and just wait. Man the fuck up. Finish that shit. Let's go, nigga. Let's go.
And that's the orgasmic cycle. When you look at this graph of the line going up and plateauing and then going up again like a step, really what's happening is his sexual energy is going on the rise and it's starting to settle down. And it's coming back up again.
What I try to do is you don't have to remind everybody in Hollywood how little you think of the culture of Hollywood. They live out there. That's their life. They don't want to know that. They don't need to know that.
And to settle down and come back up again.
Never get complicated. Things simple, you got it?
Wait till I tell it, will you? Please.
He knows me.
Guy's laughing at the questions. He was pretty horny up Canada. I heard that he once called a hooker and told the hooker that he was an admiral. So while he was boiling abroad, he said, "How am I doing, honey?" She said, "Admiral, you're doing 3 knots. You're not hard, you're not in, and you're not getting your fucking money back."
Two doctors entered the cage to measure the results of the fast, which were announced through a megaphone.
Yes, sir.
The gun is untraceable. Shoot. Drop the gun. Walk away.
Learn that eventually.
So is it simply you learn to accept their terms and play the game they do, or have you walked away with some respect for who they are and what they do?
Grab a beer. Wipe my car for me. Let's roll.
Wipe your car, man?
Yeah, we're going to Nigger Town. N-word town. You know, it's what you can prove.
Come shoot, 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 shoot. Drop the gun. Walk away. Walk away. Never run. Always wear gloves.
And finally, two young ladies appeared, blissful at having been selected for the honor.
Some of the people that I work with, or who I don't know them well, I would imagine for some people, for example, right now, being the executives of major motion picture studios must be a very, very demoralizing and tough experience for them. Because I know that some of them are filmmakers. People are always talking about the current generation of studio heads or this corporate tier. And these marketing people and lawyers and business people who've taken over, who had no background in film or whatever, and they're heads of these multinational conglomerates and so forth. And but I know some of them, like the perfect example is Joe Roth, who runs Disney. He was a film director for a long time.
Yeah.
And I sometimes wonder how tough it must be for Joe as a filmmaker who's discerning and astute and has taste and has made films, how tough it must be for him to realize what kind of films very often he has to make money to run that company. Because you can't love all of them.
To help the hunger artist down the few steps leading to a small table on which was spread a carefully chosen invalid repast. And at this very moment, the artist always turned stubborn. True, he would entrust his bony arms to the outstretched helping hands of the ladies bending over him. But stand up he would not.
On the Tabasco. My ass is on fire. What's with the corn? He shoots, he scores.
Stop fighting. So the doctor threw his arm. He came back down. Lily jumped up and screamed. He said, "Doc, what the hell are you going to do?" And the doctor said, "Well, what am I going to do?"
Whoa!
Got to open these fucking windows.
Game!
Got to open these fucking windows.
I've torn myself.
Here's another one you may not care for. In the Guinness Book of Records, Rich Little holds the world's record.
Pleased to assure that, according to the Associated Press, administration officials acknowledged, quote, positioning the massive ship to provide the best TV angle for Bush's speech with the sea as his background instead of the San Diego coastline.
What I've learned in my business is I'll do movies. This is a really, really profoundly important element of the business. I remember saying this to Gene Siskel. I said, Gene, you know, the movie will come out and it'll be terrible. And you don't understand that when we all huddled up and we all gathered to do the film in the beginning, we all didn't say, let's go make the most mediocre movie we possibly can. You huddle up with high hopes. Everybody's anxious and they want to give
but
it everything
that
they
can. But because he doesn't let his energy settle down,
turn out the way
when
he
do you
when
know
the wave
that?
Comes
you know
back,
that early on? I mean, is there a
ejaculates.
Sense or does it
it's
come
over.
To you at the
most
end
men
of the
think
we
they're having an orgasm
it is not
when they ejaculate.
Film.
Sometimes you do a film and you'll say something. The most painful realization is
they
you
think
say,
that's what an orgasm is.
If we hit this as hard as we can and everybody is perfect every day, at best the movie will be mediocre.
Wow.
If we're all not great, and I've done one or two films like that, big budget, where we said, and if we're all not great, we have varying degrees of pain ahead of us.
It's not.
The troops should buy them themselves. They would not be supplied by the quartermaster corps. And you want to send people into battle without everything that's needed to keep them alive? What you see now is the contempt that the Bush people have for the soldiers. Because they're common people. They are not. The president finally learned how to pronounce entrepreneur, and every other word is entrepreneur, you know. He's a real entrepreneur. Those soldiers, by definition, are not, or they would not have been forced to go into the army because they didn't have the money to go to university or whatever. And so they're cutting back on them. At one point, when they were being sent back, the wounded, to whatever base it is in the United States, I've forgotten, hospital, and they were charging them $8 a day for food out of their own pay, out of their own pocket. They were cutting back on the commissaries, which on big military posts is where the families of GIs can buy food and clothes and so on.
Now, this whole issue of S&M, I did know that anyone who is in the scene, who's in the swing scene, runs across people who are into domination. And I wanted to, in this scene, indicate the true depths to which this kind of fascination goes. When what domination is truly about is not about wearing funny outfits and having your picture taken. It's about mixing eros and fear. So I did this scene where he's talking to the dominatrix, and he explains to Carpenter the kind of buzz that happens when eros meets fear, and that, you know, what it's like to have an orgasm when your heart is pounding because you're frightened. I put this in here so it'd just be some sense, even though I wasn't going to really delve in those waters, just a little sense of how deep they potentially were.
This is an all-out assault on our brave boys that every now and then the president snivels a bit over while cutting back on the amount of money that goes to the veterans' hospitals across the land. They're getting, I think it's $2,000 less per veteran than previously. And that was just cut a couple of months ago. I think that was probably for Christmas. The hostility of this government, they start wars and then they don't want to protect the troops.
Yeah.
They don't know how to get out of the war. They know what they want, but they can't let on. Because if people knew that they are being sacrificed, Halliburton rich, because he gets the contract without bidding, naturally, to rebuild the buildings that Rumsfeld has knocked down. I think you're going to have the angriest returning troops that we've ever had in the United States. There are a lot of them from Vietnam who were just, you know, knocked to bits by the thing, afflicted with Agent Orange and anxiety. And they were in terrible shape, and they were not getting much support from the civilian population, which had got tired of the war, and then got tired of the war's victims, which were A, the Vietnamese, and B, the American troops that had been out there loyally fighting for their country. So that's not the way you do it. And had we any form of a democratic government, that war would never have happened. Our Constitution requires that before you commit troops to battle, Congress must declare war. That is an absolute, and we have not done that since 1941, when Roosevelt asked for war against the Japanese after they attacked us at Pearl Harbor, and we've fought about 200 wars since. At presidential pleasure. Panama bothering us? We'll go down and kill a few thousand of them. Lose, I think it was 40 American troops. Also that Bush Sr. would stand tall. Afflicted with people in the field sometimes don't stand. And there is no question. There are no questions being asked of any importance by Congress. The Vice President has refused to tell us whom he consulted with over energy problems, probably because many of the people that we know now to be pretty criminal in that field were his advisors. So he won't tell Congress. He's obliged to do it by the Constitution. So now you have a reckless and politically radical administration. There has been no administration as radical as this in my lifetime. Nor, having spent my life studying American history, I can't find another. It ignores its constitutional duties, does not enforce it. Congress should be invoked, because you can get 5 years in prison, $250,000 fine. Or if you happen to be writing the president's speech, there's a conspiracy which you can be charged with to delude the American people through false information, like Niger producing yellow uranium for Saddam Hussein, which had been totally made up. Everybody knew it was at the time.
Why, for example, my company, I've started, I just did a miniseries for Turner, and I haven't done a television show in years. I just did a miniseries because the material, the Nuremberg trials, was attractive to me. We produced, so I got to hire who I wanted to hire.
You said, we've got this idea for doing something about
a co-producer
about the Nuremberg trials, and you said, man, I could get my teeth into that.
A co-producer who was a friend of mine from years ago in television said, here's the script, read it. He had it set at Turner. I sat down and said, if you make me a producer and my company co-producers, only on a creative level, we don't want to control the money, because that's the big one. They don't want to give you control of the money. I said, we don't even want to do that, but I want to have control over casting and over the script. And we supervise the rewriting of the script, and we supervise the casting.
And coach, how many hours? Do you want to direct?
No. No.
Having all this sense of what you've said in this interview.
Military! I want my drugs! Into our country! I want my drugs!
It's an ejaculation. An orgasm is an experience that you have having built up your energy. You build it up, you let it relax. You build it up, you let it relax. You build it up, you let it relax. for about 15 to 20 minutes. Then when you have an orgasm, or then when you ejaculate, it's a whole body orgasm. It's an orgasmic experience. All the cells in your body are involved in it. Whereas generally with a 2 to 3 minute ejaculation, it tends to be located in the genitals, and that's all. The ideal of lovemaking, to be a great lover, for yourself to have the most pleasure, is to build up this energy. Let it build up and build up and build up. But the art of building up energy in yourself and in your partner is to go in waves. Let the stimulation go up, and if ever it seems like you start to think in your mind, okay, now what can I do to make this even more exciting? What can I do to keep it up? That's generally a sign your energy wants to settle down. You just let your energy settle down at that time, and it will pick right back up. For a man, sometimes that means he might start losing his erection. You know, he's going along, and all of a sudden he starts to lose his erection. He goes, hold it, wait a second, I gotta get this up, you know? And he's like working harder to stimulate himself and get going, rubbing harder, whatever. If it starts to go, you let it go. If the energy's just settling down, because if you let it settle down, when it comes back stronger, and it lasts longer. Kind of like some kind of soap detergent or something. So, we're going back to these differences between men and women in sex. Men tend to take 2 to 3 minutes. I'm going to talk more about these energy waves a little bit later. Women need longer. That 18 to 20 minutes is the time to build her energy up, let it settle down, build it up, let it settle down, build her up, let her set it down. Okay, what are some other things that make us different in sex? Major attitude difference. When a man is successful in pleasing the woman, he gets off the most in sex. What is the purpose of the male side of us? To make a difference. When he succeeds in pleasing you, that's what makes him the happiest. That's what makes him feel this was great sex. Okay?
Red-blooded American man. I like to look at naked women. I love breasts. Any kind. I love them. Boobs, bazooms, balloons, bags, bazongas. The bigger the better. Nipples like udders, nipples like saucers, big pale rosy brown nipples, little bitty baby nipples. Real or fake? What's the difference? I like tits. Who's kidding who? Tits are great.
Done anything yet?
That's what I told him.
See?
But we will. How do you know?
I know. I can see it in his eyes, those beautiful, sad eyes.
Is there a waiter in this place or what?
What am I gonna do if he shows up again?
Open up your arms.
No. No, I'll tell him to go away and leave me alone.
You don't want to be left alone.
Life is a series of choices. Yeah, unless you have no self-control, which you don't. In that case, it's a series of disasters. I'm gonna go find a waiter.
Do I need to call security?
This rogue intellectual, this visionary genius.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out. Turn on, tune in, and drop out. You can't say that, they tell me. But what I am saying happens to be the oldest message of human wisdom. Look within, find your own divinity, detach yourself from social and material struggle. Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you.
I feel kind of funny out here.
Like you might get caught?
Yeah, I guess. Sorry.
More and more in the film, I'm staying away from establishing shots now. I think that's the last one. This is the last one right there. Coming in close, staying close, and so you have less and less a sense of where you really are. And the reason I was doing that was to create the sense that all the days are swimming together now, and the boat is unanchored. This is usually the point in the film where most viewers say, wow, this movie really looks different now, because we've really, you know, gone to the edge, and skin tone is quite unattractive and green. The background is blowing out. A little later in this scene, Bob starts talking about the color orange, which is just a kind of delightful non sequitur that, you know, more literal-minded people say, why is that in there? It's actually in there because Bobby, the oldest son, told me he had overheard this conversation in the last months of his father's life, you know, his father telling this to someone else. Well, now this young actor here is playing Bobby, who you saw earlier as the Christian interviewer. Now he's playing him growing up as a UCLA student. And I'm putting these lines into Greg's mouth that Bobby heard his father say, you know, about the color orange. I mean, there is a kind of vague point about the color orange, which is that underneath it, I suppose he's trying to say, you don't really examine your behavior, and I haven't been examining my behavior. But he says it in such a disconnected, you know, off-the-wall way that it's a way to sort of glance off the truth at an extreme angle.
Power with me. You know, the technical aspect.
The technical aspect of it to me is, it doesn't intrigue me. Lenses and lens sizes and lighting and cutting and angles and. I think it's interesting,
stuff,
but not as
stuff
interesting.
That Scorsese likes, in addition to
stuff
storytelling.
That makes...
In addition to storytelling, one of the most profound aspects that makes Scorsese Scorsese. Yes, I'm not looking for it.
I'm not as interested in it as you need to be to step up and helm a movie.
Well, look at Scorsese.
can't think of anybody who has imprinted himself, his unconscious. What is going on in his mind? I can't think of a person, if you really think about this theoretically, it's kind of fascinating. I can't think of a human being other than a writer. Scorsese to me is like a great writer.
Welcome to Celebrity Cooks. My name is Bruno Gerussi. Today we'll be cooking with Colonel Hogan himself, Mr. Bob Crane.
Thank you, Bruno. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful to see you. Now, what has Hogan been up to?
Pretty much the same old thing. I'm still trying to pull the wool over Clink's eyes. And trying to get into Hilda's pants. Actually, I did get into her pants. I married her. But now she's divorcing me, so...
Oh.
That's not worked out. But I will be next month in Long Beach performing a show called Beginner's Luck.
Wonderful. So, Bob, what recipe have you brought us today?
It is a pasta dish with... chicken and fettuccine, they tell me. That's what they told me to say anyway. I don't even
sounds delicious.
You got a balloon smuggler here in the audience today. You got a license to carry those things? Here's a little tip on how to remove the wrinkles from your face. Just take off your bra.
Oh,
calm down. Boo. Calm down. They'll cut all this stuff out. They edit it and they take all this stuff out. Nice enough girl until she figured out that the fuzzy thing she was sitting on could make her some money. You all right, Bob? I'm fine. It's actually called a chicken fettuccine a la Crane is my dish.
We can take a break if you want.
No. I'm fine. I'm a complete professional. I just can't get over the size of those knockers.
Ah, well, look. Here come the ingredients now.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Ah, the noodles.
Please, it's Bob. Rewind the tape.
Copacetic.
I always wanted to make an impression.
There was a color scheme or a visual scheme employed in this film. It originally came from the production designer, James Chinlin, who referred to Crane's life as an accretion of clutter. And it got messier and messier and more video cables.
I have cable. You watch whatever you want, okay?
And we took that idea, which originally was meant only for set design, and applied it across the board.
Scorsese to me is like Dickens and Hemingway.
So you have a media which belongs to corporate America. The media is there to sell things that people don't need. It's there to cover up for corporate America, who also owns the political system.
Applied it to production design, color, film stock, camera work, hair, makeup, wardrobe, music.
I don't think the Bush family put up the $300 million that the president has acquired thus far, I'm told, for his re-election.
What's going down, brother?
Oh, it's all good, baby. It's all good.
that came from corporate America. And I see no sign that Dennis Kucinich got one penny of it.
Because I can't think of a person who what's going on in their unconscious mind has been imprinted on your conscious mind more time and time again by the visual imagery you see in his film.
Or any of the other voices that want to talk about the real America.
I'm not afraid of death.